This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. Brothers and sisters, welcome to our weekly session that we have started till inshallah reaching the month of Ramadan to spiritually prepare ourselves for the month of Ramadan. So before we continue, I would like to ask our young brother Saifullah to recite a few verses of the Quran before we begin our program. Stand here so people can see you on my team. Yeah, that's it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب.
ما شاء الله. جزاك الله. JazakAllah khair and Saifullah for the beautiful recitation of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us and our generation to keep the Quran in their life and practice this, inshallah, and bring it to their lives. Without further ado, inshallah, I would humbly request our honorable Sheikh Ibrahim Najm to join us, as we all know him and is so dear to our community. Sheikh serves as the senior advisor to the Grand Mufti of Egypt. He has had multiple researches in multiple universities across the world. Alhamdulillah, people are benefiting from his presence. So we are honored to have Sheikh with us, inshallah. Without further ado, inshallah, Sheikh Ibrahim Najm with us. Sheikh, anything? They have the virtual online as well. So as long as if you want to sit or stand, anything.
Where are you? بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. My dear brothers and sisters, الحمد لله يعني الله سبحانه وتعالى has blessed us with so many blessings and favors. Ni'am. Blessings that we often take for granted or forget sometimes, or even don't know that they exist. And even if we look into ourselves, into our biological system inside of us, there are so many favors and miracles that we take for granted. If we look at, this air, if we stop breathing for a minute or two, we cannot function. So there are so many blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. And Ramadan comes as one of these major blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, those of us who are old enough, like my age and even senior, may Allah give all of you long, healthy, prosperous life. Ameen. We have spent many Ramadans in our lives. From the moment that we are aware, like 4, 5, 6 years of age, until right now, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us healthy, long life, full of good deeds. Ameen. So Ramadan comes as one of the major blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. I would like all of us, inshallah, to think about Ramadan in five ways. Five ways. That will help us look at Ramadan differently. And alhamdulillah, those of you who are brought up in Muslim countries, or those of you who are born and raised here, the environment inside our families make us feel the warmth and the special nature of Ramadan. But I would like you to look at Ramadan from new light, from new perspective, so that we could appreciate more this great blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in the form of the month of Ramadan. Number one, so I said five ways to look into Ramadan in different perspectives. The first one, look at Ramadan as a major rest area. Rest area. How far is it to drive from New York to Florida? Those of you who have taken this trip, it's how many hours, roughly? 18, 20 hours, right? Can anyone, start the journey and take the journey in one shot? No. Even if we have the power and the stamina, and we need some gas on the way. So we need to stop at different rest areas, either to fill the gas, or to eat, or to pray, or to go to the restroom, or to take some rest, or to whatever, right? Imam Al-Ghazali says that life is like that. Life, we are walking towards death. We are walking towards our destination. We are walking towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. From the moment we are born until when our time comes. Anybody can know when his or her time will come? No, right? And a couple of days, this masjid had a janazah of 16, 17 years old, bright young boy. Okay, so we don't know exactly when our time comes, but we are walking towards our destination. We are working in this life towards our end. Each and every one of us will have his or her moment. Okay? When the time comes, we cannot push it back even for 1 second. Okay? So in our path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life, we need rest areas. Rest areas. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His infinite wisdom and compassion, has given us these spiritual rest areas. Spiritual rest areas. So there are rest areas per day. And there are one major rest area during the week, and several during the year, and one whole month. Okay. Again, spiritual rest areas. Salah is actually a rest area. Five times a day, they are spread around the day and the night. Okay. Only the five times. Of course, there are window for Qiyamul Layl and Tahajjud during the night, which also is an important rest area. So when you are busy with the ups and downs of life, with the hassle of life, you need to take a spiritual break, as we do with the lunch break or dinner break or breakfast break. We need to do a spiritual break by praying 5 times a day. We need to take another spiritual break during Jummah by praying together. Of course, the daily breaks, it is also preferred to do it in the masjid, but also you can do it alone when circumstances and times. Yeah, you can do it alone. But during Jummah, can we do it alone? No, we have to do it in Jama'ah as much as we can if we are not traveling or sick. So there is a major weekly rest areas. And there are other rest areas spread around the year. And then there is the centerpiece or the biggest spiritual rest area is the month of Ramadan. Okay, so think about Ramadan as a major rest area that we need to take as much spiritual food from it so that we could continue on the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hassle of life. So think about Ramadan as a spiritual or a major spiritual rest area. That's number one. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created our forefather Adam from two elements, right? The element of clay or mud or dust. That's the first element, okay? And then the second element is the ruh, the spirit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala breathed into our father Adam. And because of this divine breath, Adam became a full functioning human being. Okay? A full functioning human being. So each and everyone has a trace of Adam alayhi salam. So our physical body consists of the earthly element, which is clay, and there is a spiritual soul that is connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we have a remnant of this divine breath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in us, and that's why we are functioning. So it is not the body alone, it is the soul within the body that makes us full human being. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us food for these two elements. Food for the body and food for the soul. Food for the body and food for the soul. Now, what do we do usually when we get hungry? We grab something to eat, right? What we do if we feel thirsty? We grab something to drink, okay? And if we feel, you know, we have desire, sexual desire, Allah provided a halal avenue that's called marriage, right? These are the desires of the body. And then there should be also equal food for what? The second element, for the spirit. But sometimes we don't feel hungry. Yani our spirit, at least our body, when we feel hungry, we there are certain hormones, hunger hormones, that makes us alert to the fact that we are hungry, right? Or thirsty. But this doesn't happen with the food of the soul. Sometimes we neglect it. not sometimes, oftentimes, a lot of times, we neglect to feed our soul, to feed our spirit. We just focus more on feeding the body, feeding the body. And we neglect that also in order for soul and spirit to nurture and to blossom and to nourish, it needs also certain foods. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, equally as He provided halal food for the body, He also provided food for the spirit. Food for the spirit. Your spirit can be very well so hungry and thirsty, but you are not feeding the spirit or soul. You are just keeping feeding the body, feeding the body, feeding the body. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided us a month during which we give a break, a human break. We cannot fast the 30 days consecutively, right? At least we have to fast from dawn to sunset so that we give more time to feed the spirit and the soul. It's something that will establish the balance between our physical body and our spiritual soul. This is the wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, this gift of Ramadan, to do some sort of balance. You have been giving so much attention to the food of the body in the 11 months of the year, but at least during this month, give more attention to feeding the soul and give a little break to feeding the body so that there is a balance between the food of the body and the food of the spirit. What is the food of the spirit? What is the food of the soul? It's recitation of the Quran. It is dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is salah on time, and also salah, the extra salah that we do every night. It is breaking fast together. It feeds the soul primarily. It feeds the body also, but it feeds the soul. Just when we break the fast together, when we feel for others in the form of zakat and sadaqah and giving to the masjid, we are feeding the soul. In the feeling of togetherness and unity of the community, we are feeding the soul. So think about Ramadan in this way also. So again, number one, we said think about Ramadan in five ways. Okay, so number one, think about Ramadan as a major spiritual rest area. As you are walking through life, Allah provided for us spiritual rest areas. The most important spiritual rest area in the year is the month of Ramadan. Usually, what do you do when you go to rest areas? When you are traveling, you either gas up or go to the bathroom, make wudu, eat, drink, grab a cup of coffee. So the spiritual rest area, you go there to take spiritual food so that you keep walking through the journey of life until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, number two, think about Ramadan. This young man, what is number two again? Number two again is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us two elements the body and the spirit. So the month of Ramadan is a break, a little break to feed the soul and give a little break to feeding the body. That's number two. Number three, think about Ramadan as a condensed time for blessings, a blessing upon a blessing. What do I mean by that? There is a hadith that I wish you just give it a little thought so you could appreciate why Ramadan was so important in the life of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith says that there was a man from the previous communities, from Banu Israel, who pledged to go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 1,000 months. For 1,000 months. And he took all his cash flows and he went on to spread the message of Allah and to invite people to the fold of his deen. And he spent 1,000 months and he died. The Prophet ﷺ said about this man that he is such a great man and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a night better than the endeavor or the efforts or the deeds of this man. He has given us one night, which is better than 1,000 months. Okay. People in the previous communities before our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to live quite a long life. We know that Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, he spent 950 years inviting people and calling people, right? 950 years. And our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the span age, the average age of my ummah, of my community, is between 60 and 70 years. Maybe it's little advances in medication and medicine and you know, the quality of life and things like that. The lifespan expectancy might be 80, 90 years. Very, very few people survive at 100 years. But it is more or less only 100 years, right? So in a span, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of you long and healthy lives. But just to give you a little shock, 100 years from now, okay, every single person in this room and those who are watching us will expire, will pass away, right? And new people will come. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam this great month in which it is packed with blessings and favors and showers of mercy and divine gifts. 1 month which during which one night is better in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than 1,000 months, 83 years and some change, 83 years, one single night. So let alone the other 29 nights of the blessed month of Ramadan, during which also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a sale of good deeds, a sale of good deeds. So if you do in normal days, if you do one good deed, because of the karam, because of the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one single good deed automatically is multiplied to 10. Automatically. Okay? But during the month of Ramadan, the calculation of good deeds, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards people, He is even more generous. Okay? So one good deed that is automatically becomes 70. Okay? And out of the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is multiplied 10 times. So one good deed automatically is how many? 700 good deeds. 700 good deeds. Okay. I would like all of you to visualize this, because really we need to focus on this special time, and even if we are tempted to waste the time in some other business, let us recall the karam, the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this blessed time. So one single deed, 70, and 70 is automatically 10 times 700. Think about this. Let us do a simple calculation, young people. Simple calculation. How many letters are in Bismillahi ar-Rahmani ar-Rahim? Do a calculation. How many letters in Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? Okay. So this is one of the verses of the Quran, right? In normal days, when we recite it, each letter is multiplied 10 times, right? That's in normal days. This is not my words. This is the words of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay? So each letter, when we recite it, is rewarded 10 times. So Bismillah, so Ba, Wasin, Walmim. Bism. Three. So in normal days, 30 good deeds. In normal days. Okay. Now, in the month of Ramadan, Bism. This Ba, Sin, and Mim. Sale of good deeds. So each good deed is 70. So this 3 becomes 210. And then multiplied by 10 times, it is 2,100. 2,100 bismillah. 2,100 or 2,100 good deeds. Think about also when you say adhkar, when you give in charity. Sale of good deeds. As if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that your lifespan is very short. Because if you calculate the time in which you set for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during a normal life or a normal routine day, how much time you set aside for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you think about sleeping time, going to the restroom, taking a shower, driving, working, talking over the phone, taking care of, errands and, so, and then you just allocate a little bit of time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of prayers or azkar or learning about Islam. And so the ratio is very deficient. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that don't worry, you are too busy, there is a hassle in life, but during this month I'm going to give you compounded time packed with blessings and gifts. Take advantage of it. I didn't even complete Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Bism itself, 2,100 good deeds. Of course, when you have the niyyah, when you have the intention to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you do it in this frame of mind, and you do it while your heart is present, and while your heart is alive, and you do it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the conditions for the acceptability of good deeds. Okay? So good intention. Your heart is present. And then you do it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So again, number three, think about it as a golden opportunity, during which, if you miss it, you are mahroom, you are really deprived from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why, that explains, this philosophy explains why our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so anxious about the coming of Ramadan. Why? Why he was so anxious? Because he knew the so many virtues and blessings during this month. So he used to be so anxious 2 months before, when he spotted the crescent of Rajab. He used to say a prayer, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab. Oh Allah, bless the month of Rajab for us. Okay. Wa barik lana fi Sha'ban. Bless the month of Sha'ban for us. Wa ballighna Ramadan. And help us or extend our life so that we could witness the month of Ramadan. Okay, see the beauty? So he was looking forward to receiving this month. And the companions, Imam Ibn Kathir, in his tafsir, he said that the companions used to divide the calendar year into two parts. 6 months before the month of Ramadan, they used to engage in dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, help us reach the month of Ramadan. And when the month of Ramadan is over, they used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept their good deeds in the month of Ramadan. So in a way, the month of Ramadan was their centerpiece, was the major event around which they look into the calendar year. So it is the month of Ramadan. Few months before, or half of the year before, they used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, extend our life so that we could witness the month of Ramadan. After, Ya Allah, accept our good deeds in the month of Ramadan. So this was the major centerpiece for the blessed month of Ramadan. That's number three. Number four. If we really want, because the title of tonight's theme is developing spiritual habits to take advantage and to take the best out of the blessed month of Ramadan, I would like each and all of us to look into the example of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he's the one who taught us how to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, there were three people, three people, they came and inquired about the ibadah or the worship of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They asked Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. So Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, she told them that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do such and such. He used to pray during the night time and also sleep. He used to fast voluntarily during the some days, but also he broke the fast voluntarily. We are not talking about the month of Ramadan. We are talking about other days. So sometimes he used to keep the fast. Sometimes he used to break the fast. Sometimes, he used to pray during the night time and take some rest. And also he married women. So he cohabitated with his wives. So these three people felt that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as if he is not doing good ibadah. So one of them, out of enthusiasm, he said, "Amma ana, I am going to pray during each and every night, and I will never fall asleep." And the other said, "I will fast each and every day during the calendar year." And the third one said, "I will not marry women at all." When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard about them, he invited them, he called them, and he opened a discussion, a dialogue with them. So he first told them, "You came and asked about my worship, and it seems that you arrived at the conclusion that I'm not doing as much. And you said so and so, you said so and so, you said so and so." So they affirmed the story. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told them to educate them. He said, "Amma ana fa inni atqaakum wa akhshaakum lillahi azza wa jalla. I am the most pious and I am the most fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am more close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than you. And I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better than you do. Amma ana fa inni aqumu wa arqud. I pray during the night time, but I sometimes get some rest. Wa asumu wa aftar. I fast voluntarily during some days, while some other days I don't fast. Wa atazawwaju nisa. And I marry women. Fahadihi sunnati, faman raghiba an sunnati falaysa min. This is my sunnah, this is my path, this is my way. If you abandon my way, you are not, or you do not belong to me." What I'm saying is that look into how our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to spend this great month, and measure your actions according to the example of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How he was very keen to have suhoor, to have this meal, small meal. Look into how simple the meal was. Look into the way he was very keen to start his day with Salatul Fajr and Salatul Subh. Look into the fact that he had such a special relationship with the Quran during the month of Ramadan. Because the most important event in the month of Ramadan was the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Quran during this blessed month. Look into the fact that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so generous during the month of Ramadan. He used to be generous during the whole calendar year, but during the month of Ramadan, he was so generous. So generous during the month of Ramadan. Look into the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never broke his fast alone. He used to ask people to join him breaking his fast. Look into the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent the Salatul Qiyam. Yes, he started during the first days to pray in the masjid, and then he feared that it could be compulsory on the ummah, so he prayed in his own room. And then later on, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab gathered people in Salatul Qiyam or Salatul Taraweeh, and we are following this example. So there is a special prayer during the month of Ramadan that all of us, if we can come to the masjid, that's again a major way to nourish our souls. But if you cannot, then at least do not deprive yourself from this important prayer. Because as our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man qama Ramadan imanan wahtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi." Whoever stands in Qiyam. Qiyam means Salatul Taraweeh, Salatul Tahajjud. During the nights of Ramadan, out of faith, expecting the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she will have his or her, Allah will wipe out your past sins. And this hadith is recorded in Imam Bukhari. Okay. So if you want to develop good habits during the month of Ramadan, look into how our beloved Prophet ﷺ used to spend this great month. Look into the fact that when Sayyidah Aisha came to him and asked him, "What if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me to recognize what night is Laylatul Qadr?" So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave her one single advice. He told her, "Quli Allahumma innaka afuun kareemun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni." So he gave her a single advice, which is making supplication, making dua, making prayers, which is an indication for us that during this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the dua, the supplication, accepts. Okay, and that's why our companions, may Allah be pleased with them, they used to prepare and underline prepare 100 lines, prepare supplications for the month of Ramadan. So prepare your list and be consistent. And try not, you know, some of us unfortunately might say the dua one time. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the person to yulih, to make excessive and consistent and repetitive dua. So try as much as you can to prepare your list of dua. It could be general, it could be personal, it could be something very private, a problem that you are encountering in your home or work or car or anything. And it could be general, but try to personalize this dua. Prepare your list of dua, because this is the time in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala receives an answer. Number five. Think about Ramadan as a learning opportunity. Yani I would like each and every one of us, including me, that other than these spiritual habits that we spoke about, make it a target to increase your level of knowledge of this deen a little bit. Make it a target. Because really, really, we are in a big crisis. In a big crisis, especially with the young people. And alhamdulillah, those of us who are old enough, yani we have been raised in traditional circles of learning, and our parents used to teach us, and we used to go to schools, we used to, you know, listen to maulvis and imams and teachers. But unfortunately, the time has changed, and the younger generation, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them, as well as also the middle generation, their level of knowledge of the deen is not as good as the our elders. So make it a point, inshallah, that at least you increase your level of awareness and knowledge of the deen a little bit. It could be some verses of the Quran that you try to understand in depth. It could be some hadith of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It could be some seerah book, biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he's the perfect model. Learning about him and how he behaved, not basically what he did in year two or year three, but basically how he dealt with the people, how he focused on educating his community, how he dealt with women, how he dealt with animals, how he dealt with his enemies, how he was an example, an epitome of mercy and compassion. Okay. Why this great man was used to be like a magnet for people. People would hover around him and seek his blessing and record each and everything, even the way he laughed. They used to even record the gray hair in the the beard of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why they loved him so much? Okay, why we should develop this love? Because our salvation in the hereafter depends on our following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the hadith which is recorded by Imam al-Tirmidhi, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would stand waiting for his community to come forward, and he would stand with this soothing, cool drink, and he will start giving to his ummah. So some people would spot the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would like to come and drink from this soothing drink, but the angels would push them away, because they will tell them, you have not been following the true example of this great man, of this great prophet. So our salvation really depends on whether we are good followers of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not. And good followers doesn't mean just imitating the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the way he dressed or the food he liked. Mainly the manners. Mainly the manners. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never hit a woman in his life. Never. He never hit a woman in his life. He never frowned in his life except when the hudud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is breached. When the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is violated, he used to be very angry. But other than that, he used to smile all the time. And he's the one who said that even smiling in the face of your brothers is a charity. These are the real model of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So make it a point to increase your awareness of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani, you have to feel like he was really an epitome of compassion and mercy. How merciful he was even to his deadliest enemies. How when he was going to Mecca, going back victorious to Mecca, he was bound down on his she-camel and saying, today is Yawmul Marhama, today is the day of compassion. While other companions were shouting, today Yawmul Malhama, today is the day of revenge. But he said, today is the day of compassion. And he granted compassion to everyone. So this is what it means to increase your awareness of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is not the amount of pages you read. Sometimes when you read one verse or one hadith and you understand it properly, it is enough for you. The moment you appreciate that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a model of compassion and mercy, and you try to do this and emulate him and imitate him, you got it. You got what Islam really is. You got the meaning of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose this verse to begin each chapter of the Quran, except Surah Bara'a number 9. Because this is the mission statement of Islam, compassion and mercy. So these are the five things in which we look into Ramadan and develop these good habits. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us reach the month of Ramadan in the best of iman and in the best of health and in the best of stamina and enthusiasm, because there's a lot of work that needs to be done. So I hope these five things will bring different perspectives into why Ramadan is such a blessing, is such a great favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extend our life so that we could witness many Ramadans in our life. Even if we have many Ramadans in our life, we would ask and crave for more Ramadans in our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us reach this blessed month and make us and take advantage and take the best and the most of this blessed month. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
وبركاته. So, shall we have a few moments? We'll take some questions and we'll conclude. The Isha Salah tonight is at 8:30. So we do have a few minutes. So if you do have any questions, please raise your hand. We'll get the mic to you and you can ask your questions, inshallah. Well,
they will ask about Ukraine.
So, inshallah, we're continuing our series. We will continue, inshallah, next week. Next week, we will be covering the details of Zakat, inshallah. So, it's going to be a little bit more complicated, but we're going to try our best to cover myself. We will cover the fiqh of Zakat, the do's, the don'ts, how to calculate your Zakat the proper way, inshallah. So please make sure that you do join us next Sunday as well. But again, if you do have any questions with regards to development of spiritual habits, please make sure that you're able to ask those questions, inshallah.
Dr. Najim, one question, you know, after the month of Ramadan, as soon as the khatam is done, some masajid does, some on 27, some on 29, the population of the masjid decreases, you know, maybe 90% people, those people who have been there for one full month. Any pointers, any things which can encourage these, our community to come back and be there, especially people who are living around the masjid and things like that? And that's a phenomenon, I think, throughout the world, actually.
Yes, this is very unfortunate, but yani, usually we look into how the companions used to do things. Okay, we are full of shortcomings, but we try as much as we can to look up how good people, how and the best of communities, as our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, are the companions. So there is a narration on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, to answer your question, that on the last day of Ramadan, on the last day of Ramadan, he entered the Prophet's masjid after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. So he entered the Prophet's masjid right before Maghrib on the 30th day of Ramadan. So few minutes and Ramadan will be officially over. So he found the masjid packed with people praying, reading Quran, making azkar, and excessive dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept their good deeds and to grant to them forgiveness and salvation from hellfire. And he said, such people are the ones who will get accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they are keeping their duty until the last minute. Okay? And this was the advice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Be in a state of servitude and worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until when yaqeen, when that which is certain comes to you. And that which is certain means what? Death. So each and everyone should be in a state of humility, consistency, worship until the last minute, especially during the month of Ramadan. And this is the time, yani, those of us who go working, okay, we try as much as we can to perfect our job. If I am a carpenter or a plumber or doing something, so I perfect my job until the last minute, and I present this job so that I get rewarded. So this is the example. We try as much as we can to be dutiful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the last minute, until when the adhan of the 30th day of Maghrib is called. And alhamdulillah, we tried as much as we can to be as dutiful, as devout, as consistent until the last minute of the last day of the month of Ramadan. This was the example of the companion, because they understood that now this is the time in which Allah will give us rewards, because we have completed as much as we can, completed our job, our work. So this unfortunate custom of people abandoning the masjid when the khatam, and even yani, in my country, in my village, even people have the khatam on the 21st night. Yani so they and then alhamdulillah it's over. Yani the khatm is over means Ramadan is over. So until the last minute, yani we try as much as we can to be devout and to keep repeating and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness until the last minute, inshallah. Jazakallah khair.
Jazakallah khair, everyone, for joining. I just wanted to add one point to this, Brother Habib, which you mentioned. I was reading an article from Psychology Today where it said that usually it's mentioned that a human mind tends to develop ideas and actions that they continuously engage for anywhere from 21 days onwards. So anything that you practice something diligently, wholeheartedly, for 3 weeks of time, it actually resonates to become a part of your life, that you begin to become used to it. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in his hadith that the person who makes takbiratul ula, the first takbir for 40 days in jama'at, is given two rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person will never be written as a munafiq, meaning a hypocrite, and this person will not enter the fire of Jahannam. Right? So those 40 days doesn't mean that you're only praying for those 40 days. It means that it will develop such consistency in your life that you can't live without it. And that's why we need to create habits in our lives that it becomes impossible to live without. So for example, if you create a habit in your life to drink with your right hand as a sunnah, it will become so overpowering that you won't be able to pick up a glass with your left hand, right? If you create that habit. If you create a habit of coming inside the masjid with your right foot, it just feels weird to enter with your left foot now, because it's a habit that you read the dua and you enter inside. So I think, inshallah, if we all ourselves practically and within our own families try to inculcate that habit of being in the masjid in Ramadan and try to make any jama'at and every jama'at as much as possible through the collectiveness of jama'at, ijtima'iyat collectiveness, inshallah, we hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this will become such a habit that will remain for the rest of our lives, right? Just like Yusuf alayhi salam, as one brother became the means of forgiveness for the rest 11 brothers, just like this, Ramadan is a source of forgiveness for all of our months, inshallah. So with this, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give barakah and rahmah and blessings in our lives. Jazakumullah khairan, Shaykhana, for this beautiful and amazing talk, inshallah. Brothers and sisters, please do join us, inshallah, for our weekly programs as well. Monday to Friday after Isha, we have been doing a series on fada'il of Ramadan and the issues related to Ramadan as well, every night, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday post Isha, online and in person. And again, inshallah, next week on Sunday, we will be doing fiqh of zakat itself, inshallah. I'm hoping to actually get one of my very close friends who is a certified Islamic financial analyst to join me so that he can answer all of your deep 401k questions. I know all of you have those 401k questions. That's going to put me to the side. So inshallah, we're going to try to get him to answer all those deep questions. But do please keep yourself engaged and involved. Our monthly calendar is given through our website as well. Please keep yourself and your families connected. Jazakumullah khairan. We'll have the adhan and the salah, inshallah. It will be just in 8 more minutes, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. MashaAllah, we have something to as sandwiches outside at the court, the lobby area as well, inshallah. So if you want to and you would like to grab some, inshallah, before Isha, you can do that as well, or while you're leaving as well, you can do that as well. Jazakumullah. Please.